Bible says, anybody knows that, and there where God says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, is that what it says? It says, in the beginning, Elohim. That's the word. And Elohim is the plural of El. So more literally translated, it should read, in the beginning, gods created the heavens and the earth. Which makes sense of the statement, let us, not let me. Let us make man in our image. And that's not an editorial we. And the Hebrews learn the New Testament makes it clear that God, so to speak, didn't do the creating. It says in chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, and you all sit down, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And whatever the inner relationship may be, if you want to make them one, like a diamond is one, you can identify different facets. And the reflection from the facet of the Son is described here as distinct from God the Father. This Son who speaks is the one whom he, God, hath appointed heir of all things, by whom, the Son that is, also he made the worlds, he being God. God made the worlds through an agent, the Son. He was the creator. All these worlds were made by the Son. Now, had Marcion accepted that statement, he could not have postulated enmity between the Son who made the worlds as the agent of God and God, the beginning of all things. But Marcion didn't accept that statement. It was not yet accepted by the church that Paul had written the book of Hebrews. And Marcion didn't believe Paul wrote those words. But if you take the context that whatever the Godhead may be, including at least God the Father and God the Son did the creative work. So you have someone other than God, per se, as distinct from the Son, did the creating. You're an agent at work. And if you comprehend the fact that the New Testament world, in order to avoid the argument of polytheism, postulated a hierarchy of angels between one God and man, which said hierarchy of angels consisted of two sets of angels, the fallen ones headed by Lucifer, and the good ones still ruled by God. And you accept the fact that in the earliest New Testament world, in the Jewish frame, Messiah was viewed as a member of the angel hierarchy, made ruler over all of them, and that all these angels were created beings to avoid polytheism, one God, a hierarchy of angels between that God and us, of whom some were good and some were bad, and Satan was over the bad ones and the Messiah was over the good ones. And you accept a generation of legalism that contradicts the message of Paul, grace and peace. And those legalists are utilizing the Old Testament law as their method of coercing people into bondage. You have a frame of reference to understand a guy without all that we have to do research with. who just decides short-circuit it all and say that whole mess that produces legalism, the Old Testament, is the product of a messy creator. In the modern world, he has a strange name, Demiurge. But that word simply means creator. I mean, we don't have any difficulties using the word creator as synonymous with God. In the Greek, Demiurge means creator, is synonymous with Theos. And if you will postulate that someone other than the God, so to speak, did the creating, if you take the Hebrews letter, it's the Son of God who does the creating, who is the agent of the good God, and thus he's doing what the good God wants. But if you don't accept Hebrews as authority, you don't believe Paul wrote it, which is the position that Marcion's going to take on that verse, then it's a very short step to say, and you can dismiss all the evil that's in the world by simply saying, it is a plan of God gone awry, and the product of the bad angels and their head, and he's the demiurge, the creator. And Jesus leapfrogged over the creation gone awry as the handiwork of the head of the bad angels to bring us the good news of the God who was there that had the right idea before the bad bunch created this mess. Good way to get around all the questions of where did the evil of this world come from? Not God's creation anyway. Now, that part of Marcion's doctrine's all wet, but you can understand that he has some basis in Paul for taking Paul and twisting him out of shape. Because Paul, in arguing against the law, said one of the things that makes the law inferior to the gospel, it was given by angels through a mediator, Moses. Galatians makes that clear. And other places where Paul writes, it's made very clear that the law was not given by God. Directly. Now, Paul believes that it is God's handiwork for that time to give a schoolmaster that would bring forth the awareness of sin, that would create the impetus, and that which makes man ready to receive the good news of the gospel, which is grace and peace. Marcion is going to make this angel work all bad. Paul doesn't make it all bad. He answers the question. Does that mean the law is good? Bad? No, the law is good. And he explains the purpose of a schoolmaster. But in so doing, he opens the door to the deviation that Marcion's going to take it on by pointing out that the law is the handiwork of angel agents. In short, God didn't come down on Sinai and give it to Moses. Agents, in the true Pauline sense, agents of God came down and did it. In the Marcion sense, agents of the demiurge did it. You following that? The common note between Paul and Marcion and the Gnostics is that God didn't do it directly. The direct givers of the law were angels. Through a mediator, Moses. The promise of God was by God directly to Abram. No mediator. And Paul, in his rhetorical technique, is saying to the Jews, therefore the law, by the very method of its reception, is of a lesser quality than the message of grace and peace and faith. Grace and peace and faith is a direct revelation from God. The law is a mediated revelation through the hands of angels. Now, from Paul, truly understood, God placed it in the hands of the angels who placed it in the hands of Moses. But to Marcion, God didn't place it in the hands of angels, but the demiurge was using the angels as his agents to do a bad thing. saddle us with the law. You follow the distinction? It's subtle. But Marcion could find that in Paul, distorting Paul if he selectively picked in Paul's writings. The good side of Marcion is he's trying to rescue Paul from total annihilation. Paul was buried with the legalism. Marcion's attempt to gain recognition for his views at a synod in Rome failed. He engineered the calling of a synod, and he tried to get the church at Rome to accept his views. And the synod is just a little council. Now, we haven't traced the history of the Roman church. We've traced the history of the church in Egypt. We've traced the history of the church at Jerusalem. We went a little ways with Antioch, and we've oft-referenced the importance of Antioch. And we've made some oblique references to Rome, but we haven't traced it in Eusebius the way we did the others, and we will. But right now, jumping up to 140 A.D. to 144... Marcion's at Rome, very rich, making a great contribution to the church, having strong views that the church has departed from what Paul taught, influenced by some wide Gnostic ideas of a broader theology than Paul would ever have allowed. And at 144, July of 144, he attempted to get the recognition of his views adopted as the church's view at Rome at a synod, and it failed, and he was rebuffed. This date, July 144, is the date that for the Marcionites is considered the date of the foundation of their own church. This writer says we have no information about Marcion's later fate. Apparently, he was indefatigable in working for the expansion of his newly created church and theology in the Roman Empire. Already about 150 A.D., when Justin wrote his apology to the Roman emperor, Justin complains of Marcion's influence and puts him side by side with Simon Magus, Simon the sorcerer, and Menander. It has been assumed that Marcion died in about 160 A.D., about 16 years after he tried to get the church at Rome and a synod to adopt his views. The essential point of his theology is the absolute antithesis of the God of law and the God of salvation. The former, the God of law, is the God of the Old Testament who created the world. As the creator, right, if you were writing in Greek, you'd say the demiurge, who created the world and who rules it with the full rigor of the law, which is based on retaliation. He is just, Marcion taught, but without mercy and goodness. He is therefore imperfect and despicable. And the same is true of his creation. You want me to continue?
Yes, sir.
Now, he's going to form the first canon of the church. He is going to select what he says are the writings of Paul and say, that's all. That's it. That is the Word of God. And since the Old Testament's the product of the demiurge, throw it out. And since the major teaching of the church, starting at Jerusalem, attempted to graft Christianity onto the stream of legalism, which was the belief and teaching of the Old Testament, he therefore eliminated all of their epistles as but the furtherance of this false doctrine of the demiurge. And he was so powerful in putting together the first canon of the church that he became the catalyst that forced the church in Contra to come up with their canon, which added others than Paul. You want me to continue? We're teaching on Marcion, one of the earliest heretics of the church, to try to understand where he got off the track, but show some appreciation for the fact that the absolute bent of the church toward legalism and ritual and departure from the teaching of Paul gave a genuinely good motive to Marcion to restore Paul to the position of prominence he ought to have in the church. But his theology got him in trouble. The essential point of Marcion's theology, I'm reading from Kurt Randolph, Gnosis, is the absolute antithesis, as he viewed it, of the God of law and the God of salvation. The God of law is the God of the Old Testament who created the world. Somebody called and said, define demiurge. I've already told you. Define creator. It means creator. The God of law is the God of the Old Testament, he taught, who created the world and who rules it with the full rigor of the law, which is based on retaliation. He is just, but without mercy and goodness. He is therefore imperfect and despicable to Marcion. And the same is true of his creation. That second half I can get along with better than the first. In contrast to him, the demiurge, the God of law, the creator, is the good and strange God who resides unknown above the lowly God of creation in his own heaven. His essence, the good God, is perfect goodness and mercy. In other respects, he cannot be defined more closely, for our earthly limitation, Marcion said, is incapable of defining him. Against his background, the good God, the narrowness and imperfection of the demiurge, the God of law, the creator God, became manifest. Marcion saw in the description of these contrasts one of his main concerns and sought to substantiate them from the Bible in a treatise with the title Antitheses, contrasting the entirely differently oriented revelation of the New Testament with the Old Testament. This revelation, the New Testament, alone is the work of the strange God. He sent his son Jesus into the world of hopelessness and misery in order to save men from it. The body which he bore was only a phantasm. Here he gets into Gnosticism. Without this phantasm, the body which he bore, his entry into the evil world would have been impossible. But in this phantasm, the body that he entered this evil world with, he suffered the death on the cross which the Creator God had ordained for him without knowing it. Before returning to his Father, he descended into Hades in order to do there too his work of salvation. It is noteworthy, Marcion taught, that those delivered by him, Jesus, belong to those who are condemned in the Old Testament, such as Cain, the Sodomites, the Egyptians, and all Gentiles, while the righteous of the Jewish history of salvation remain in the underworld. Moses didn't get out. Now, obviously, these are the reasons why Marcion was quite correctly condemned as a heretic. But as is always the case with heresies, they start with a germ of truth. And as almost always is the case, when you throw the heresy out for just reasons, you throw the germ of truth out too. Where Marcion was right was the importance of giving Paul the priority position of the New Testament teachers. And in that sense, one has said, no one has understood Paul except Marcion. And the one who said that continued by saying, after saying, no one has understood Paul since Paul's day except Marcion, and he didn't understand him either. But Marcion was right in trying to restore Paul to his position, wrong by attempting to graft on to Paul the a priori Gnostic views that he already had that were permeating the New Testament world with heresy. And to Marcion, he so overreacted to what those who sought to make Christianity an extension of Judaism and incorporate legalism into the Christian frame to the obliteration of grace and peace. He so overreacted, he left them and their fathers in hell. He didn't want any of them up there. Now, one wonders if Marcion believed as strongly all the things that are credited to him as he's credited with believing. You could take some of the things I say out of context and believe that all fundamentalists, that I believe all fundamentalists are going to hell. I don't. I mean, when I get serious about it, there's just an awful lot of very good fundamentalists. Ill-taught, they'll probably go in with more pain than they anticipate. But I don't believe all fundamentalists are going to hell. I believe the self-righteous ones aren't going to make it. But there are some very good fundamentalists. And just as the law is a schoolmaster that brings people to Christ, it was the fundamentalism of Luther that drove him eventually with bleeding knees to his hopeless condition, because he was so sincerely trying to live it that a light suddenly is burst around him that he couldn't do it, and the just shall live by faith. And Marcion may not have been as strong in his beliefs as history has credited him, because most of our views of Marcion come from those who had judged him a heretic and told us what he believed. But one thing is clear about Marcion. He recognized Paul had been buried under too much stuff. And in his overreaction to that, he sought to throw all the stuff away. And their fathers, too. Now, you've heard me say a few times, when I get worked up, a curse on somebody in 40 of their generations. That's just a trait of life. You run into some people that so overpower you with garbage, you want to get rid of the garbage and the dump and the dumpster. The work of Christ is understood by Marcion, who follows Paul, primarily as redemption. And as payment of a debt in contrast to the code of criminal justice of the demiurge or creator, God of the law. It is a pure act, Marcion believed, of mercy, which is quite unintelligible for the earthly world. The acceptance of Christ's work and thus of salvation is realized for man by faith, and by the resulting rejection of the law, as well as by a severely aesthetic way of life. And here's the second place he got off the track. Lest he be accused by his teaching of grace of making grace an excuse for sin, lest he be accused of his rejection of the Old Testament law of doing it in order to not have any obligation to do good. He therefore laid on his followers the necessity of outperforming in severely disciplined ascetic life those who taught the law. It's like, you know, in holiness movements today, or the Pentecostals, or the legalists, in order to teach freedom and not have it looked upon or make an argument for your opponents that you're teaching freedom just as an excuse for your own loose way of living, you live stricter than the ones you're teaching in order to remove the argument from their portfolio that you are teaching freedom as an excuse for sin. You set out to prove you can be free but voluntarily not be. Same kind of misapplication of principle was in Paul's life. Those that preach the gospel have a right to live with the gospel. And don't I have the freedom to lead a woman around? And don't I have a freedom to do this and to do that? But I take none of these freedoms. It's a kind of pride. By golly, the reason you're doing what you're doing is wrong. But in order to teach you that the reason you're doing what you're doing is wrong, I'll do what you're doing better than you can do it for a different reason. Follow that? I used to do that. For years, I understood with my head in biblical study the message of freedom and grace and peace, but in order to obtain the platform to tell poor people in bondage that they were free, I had to be more bound than the binders in order to have the platform to set the bound ones free. Finally, I says, I didn't even say what I said. What are you clapping at? All I said was, finally I said, I didn't say what I said, did I? And you start clapping. See, that's how people get misunderstood. That's a delusion that's permeated the church world for years. It's a perversion in our receptive tank. We want to believe the worst of people. So if somebody comes preaching freedom, we say, yeah, preaching grace, because he needs it worse than anybody. So you get this perverted attitude, I got to make myself exempt from the need of grace so I can preach grace objectively. And that produces that stupid idea that exists today. Preachers are perfect. There's a different standard for them. God can forgive you. You can start over, but not preachers. Proper understanding of the Christian life is you never start. Paradoxically, you start faithing and God starts the righteousness. Because there is no righteousness in you. Only faith. God gives measure of faith to every man. You can fan that little flame of faith. And that paradoxically causes the implant of God's nature to come, which alone can be righteous. But Marcion, and he's not been given enough credit for this. And it was this same bent that infected James. See, I don't think James went to hell either. I just think that he hurt the church. He set back the gospel a generation. And he has crippled the church in every generation. He's just stupid. And he had to suffer. And he fostered on the church at Jerusalem, the same thing. Different reasons. But if they were followers of the Messiah and the Messiah fulfilled the law, they, as Christians, not called Christians, the poor in Jerusalem, had to exemplify conformity to the law beyond anybody. The proof and validification of Christianity to James was that they performed the law better than the Jew. That gave him his platform. He was without reproach by the standard of the law. Marcion was infected with the same thing. In order to give more substance to his teaching, to a church that he wanted to accept the teaching, which said church had already set the frame of exemplifying holy living in contrast to the heathen world, he then taught his followers to be more aesthetic in their relationship to the world, even than the church that was following it for legal reasons. And in essence, he became a will worshiper, which the very Paul that he was trying to promote condemned in the book of Galatians. Marcion saw in the Sermon on the Mount, and especially in the Beatitudes, the essential point of the message of Jesus. In order to give to his community an authoritative basis of Scripture, he was the first man in the history of Christianity to draw up a canon of the New Testament. It was rigorously selected and arranged according to his basic principles. This was the Word of God. It passed muster, and he gave it to his people as the New Testament. Rigorously selected, it consisted of the Gospel of Luke, purified of its Jewish elements. Now, Thomas Jefferson did that. He took a Bible and purified it. That which he disagreed with, he eliminated. And we're certainly going to revere him during this bicentennial of the Constitution. So before you get too hard on Marcion, remember Jefferson. We got a monument to him. Well, I can do. I'd rather have Jefferson with his Bible and Jerry Falwell. I'll tell you something, too. He's going to succeed in his takeover of PTO. Jimmy the Wimp has just delayed too long. Didn't have the guts to act. Now he's going to lose it all. The time span by which he might have acted has passed. And Jerry finally found a couple of singing hosts that can carry it for him. He's going to make it. In order to give his community, Marcion, what are you counting for? In order to give to his community an authoritative basis of Scripture, Marcion was the first in the history of Christianity to draw up a canon of the New Testament. It consists of the Gospel of Luke, purified of its Jewish elements, and of 10 Pauline epistles. Galatians, notice which one starts it. 1 and 2 Corinthians, that's 3. Romans, that's 4. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, that's 6. Ephesians, that's 7. Colossians, that's 8. Philippians, that's 9. And Philemon. You notice Hebrews is not in that. And you notice 1st and 2nd Timothy is not included. This was the first canonization of scriptures into a book claimed to be the authoritative New Testament, which was the message brought by Jesus from the good God that gets us around the bad one that messed things up. Now you can see he's not going to be bothered by Hebrews because it's not in his list. And he got the jump on the rest of the church. They were so busy pontificating in their bishopric role that suddenly, for the first time, there is circulating, this is the New Testament. Paul. Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. I wish he had succeeded in that. The task of preaching the gospel would be much easier if the only Bible we had was Marcion's Bible. Now, I can preach it all, you know that. And I'm glad we got it all, you know that. But it sure has made the problem bigger. It's made the reward richer if you pay the price to teach it all properly. But you got to admit that most of the fundamentalist world camp out in the sections of Scripture that aren't included here. Now, I wouldn't even have to be bothered with those jerks if we only had Marcion's book. You want me to continue? Yeah.